We had a little story behind that song this morning. Mike had sent me a video, and it had that song, Lee Greenwood singing in the back, and it was had a video that went along with it. And I was listening to it, and I was doing something else, studying, getting ready. But you know, there's a line in the song that says, right at the beginning, and it says, "I thank my lucky stars." And I said, "Man, that ain't right." So I said, you know, I got in the shower and I was getting under conviction about that. I said, you know, if we were going to sing that as a choir or something, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't let us do it. See, because it's not a truth. You know, there's number one, there's no such thing as luck. And lucky stars, that's astrology or something like that, not God, you know. So Paul gets here and he goes, "Yeah, Kim's singing God Bless the USA today for the special." I said, "Oh, man." I said, I just got done going in a wrestling match in the shower with myself over this. And I was going to come and ask Mike. I said, "Mike, can you see if you can find another video? Or did you see another video that we could use?" And he said, "No," but he said, "Well, he'll look something up, you know." So Kim come and I said, "Well, Kim, we got a problem." I said, and I told her what I just told you. She goes, "Well, you don't want me to do it?" And I said, "Well, Paul said," he said, "maybe we can change the words." So y'all, if y'all didn't notice that, she said, "I thank my God above." You see, that's the key right there. We got to thank our lucky stars, and then we want God to bless the USA. We got a quagmire here. So I don't know, here lately I've been noticing some of the songs. I think I mentioned one last week we sang that wasn't correct in its theology to it, you know. And so I just think that's important. We sing stuff, say stuff. We think about what we're doing. And, we got to be right. And I think we need to be right. I was listening to Ronald Reagan speaking. And I got a little bit, 4th of July, I like to give y'all a little bit of history because I know good and well the school's not going to do it. They did in our day. Most of us that got any age of us, we did get some history. They left some stuff out. But I he quoted Patrick Henry, which I had the same quote. I have it written down. When I get to it, I'll remind you about peace being so sweet. Is it so sweet to us that we basically don't want to fight for our freedom, you know? That's a quote from Patrick Henry as well. I'm going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 8 for the main text. I'll say a few things about that. I was thinking about, we call tomorrow Independence Day. We're celebrating the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Now, you know, it was a Declaration of Independence from England, a nation that we were declaring that. We were not going to depend on England any longer. There was still a war to be fought. The war had actually already started maybe 14 months before that. Actually, the deal at Concord and Lexington had already taken place. There had already been some skirmishes along the way by the time they got to the day that they signed the Declaration of Independence. But what I want you to see in the history lesson I'm going to give you this morning is that even though there was a Declaration of Independence from England, there was a definite announcement or pronouncement of a dependence upon God. They were depending. Our forefathers depended upon God. And I'm going to tell you what, they don't want to teach that in history books. I don't even think in my day, they didn't harp on that at all. I don't remember that, talking about that much, of our dependence upon God. The forefathers intended when this nation was started. John Adams, as he signed the Declaration of Independence, he said, "Whether we live or die, sink or swim, succeed or fail, I stand behind this Declaration of Independence, and if God wills it, I am ready to die in order that this country might experience freedom." He had said a few things. I had a little gap in there. You said some other things before that last sentence there. Back in England, a few centuries before, King John had been forced to sign the Magna Carta. If you studied history and world history in school, you knew about that. The Magna Carta, it was establishing the rights of the common man and limiting the power over the king over them. Now, this was in England. Establishing the rights of the common man and limiting the power that the king had over them. All right, so centuries later, now people had come to America. King George was the king. King George began to ignore that Magna Carta as far as America was concerned. He was still holding up in England, but as far as what was going on over here, He started ignoring the rights of the common man. If you study history books, you know there was taxation. There was heavy taxes that he placed on the things from America. There were heavy regulations on everything that was going on over here and generally making lives miserable for everybody that was trying to make a living over here. When Americans at the time, of course, they started complaining about that, King George declared martial law. And he sent troops over here, the Redcoats, you know. He sent the troops over here to put down. Anytime there was a public protest, it got put down. That's what had happened at Lexington and Concord. I'll say something about that in a second. So things had already been going on. People had already been killed. People had already died on both sides by the time they got to signing the Declaration of Independence. But listen, the 4th of July was not the day that, you know, that England surrendered. This wasn't the day that the war was over with. The war, the rest of the war still had to be fought. This was just the day that they signed and they declared that they were separating from England, but they never did declare that they were separating from God. Just keep that in your mind right there. And so when he had sent them, declared martial law, he also added more laws and more regulations to control how everybody operated. Needless to say, that caused more of a revolution in the people that lived here. At one of the protests, a tax collector, fired into an angry crowd in Boston, and he killed an 11-year-old boy. Was accidentally shot in that at that protest. At another time at a protest, someone, the British troops were there and the protesters were there. Somebody gave the command to fire. Five protesters were killed, and it was called the Boston Massacre. We read about that in the history books as well. 14 months before they signed the Declaration of Independence, a battle broke out in Lexington and Concord in an area of Massachusetts between the Colonial Minutemen. There you go. You can learn your history from watching Andy Griffith. The Minutemen and the British troops, 366 men were killed or wounded on both sides collectively. 366. Now, you think about that for just a minute, man. Think about what America was in. They had the colonial militia. That was made up of men that were just armed with what amounted to their hunting rifles, which they were about the same as the other ones that the British used. They had their hunting rifles. I mean, this is what they were. They were just armed citizens. And part of that, and they were armed. Now, it was pretty even, Stephen. Think about this. I mean, the British military didn't have aircraft. They didn't have, they did have ships. But when it got down to ground battle, it was pretty much even, Stephen. They didn't have tanks. They didn't have bazookas, nothing like that that government would have. But you think about that. And that's why when they added the Second Amendment to the Constitution, it wasn't about hunting. You hear a lot of talk about gun control. Let me just give you this right here, just food for thought. Because the media sucks us into believing it. They use this term gun violence. There's no such thing as gun violence. You can take a firearm right now, load it, put the safety off, and lay it right here. You can just curse that old gun out, and it's not going to get mad and go off and kill you. It's people violence, folks. It's human violence. We talk about gun control. Listen, the terrorists flew airplanes into the World Trade Center. Thousands of people got killed. Nobody calling for us to remove aircraft. A guy drove a car at Charlottesville into a crowd of at a parade. Killed a bunch of people, and people die in automobiles every day. Nobody calling to ban automobiles. It's not automobile violence. It wasn't plane violence, was it? Did they say plane violence when they ran into the World Trade Center? It was terrorist. It was terrorist. It's the same thing with guns. It's not gun violence. It's people violence. They're using guns? Yeah, they're using guns. They're using guns. But listen, the Second Amendment, the forefathers who had fought with their hunting rifles, formed the colonial army of America eventually out of the militias, formed that. They said when they wrote the Constitution, they said, you know what? We got to make a little amendment. One thing we forgot. Well, it was two things they forgot. But the second thing we forgot, and they said this is what it read. This is what it basically reads. The Second Amendment says this: a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. Now that's the, think on that sentence. Being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amen. They weren't thinking about deer hunting when they wrote that. They were thinking about what happens if a government starts to oppress us, the people, we the people. What are we going to do? You know what Hitler did before he took over Germany? First thing he did, banned all weapons, took all the weapons. And when Hitler started, you say, well, why didn't the people do something? They couldn't do anything. What are they going to do it with? A rubber band gun? A slingshot? They didn't have any firearms. They didn't have any weapons because they were all taken away because Hitler knew that. So when some politician stands up and says, you don't need a 15-round magazine to go hunting, you're right. You don't need a 15-round magazine to go hunting. You do need a 15-round magazine if the government tried to run you in the ground be oppressive to the people. That you do need a 15-round magazine for that. That's what it's intended for. Now, I'm not listening. Don't go back and say, well, Preacher Boone started an insurrection down there at Valley View Baptist Church, and we're going to rise up against the government. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this is why it was established and why we have that. You know, there's a lot of nations in the world that are scared to death of the United States because they know the biggest army that we have is the people that are just armed citizens. We're the largest army in the world, and they know it. China knows it. China knows it. They all know that. So we see this. It's our security. 2 months after Concord at Bunker Hill, the militia had Boston under siege. The American militia had Boston under siege, and the colonial. But the British fought back at Bunker Hill, and the colonial militia lost 400 men. They lost that battle. As well, Malcolm Meriwether pointed that out to Barney Fife on Andy Griffith, if you pay attention to Andy Griffith, that we lost that battle right there. It cost something, right? I mean, they had gained some ground, but they lost that battle. That's just the way it was. So here in Virginia, during that time, Patrick Henry, which we're familiar with that. I remember studying that. I've been there to the House of Burgesses. Man, it's cool as all get out. They're doing a reenactment, and you're inside there where all this was going on. Think about the minds, the people's minds at that time, what kind of a daunting task this was. A lot of them were from England, and they're deciding to leave their country and establish this country right here. Man, that took some guts. I mean, it took some heartache, I think, involved with that as well, tearing away from your mother country and deciding to establishing a nation? Who's ever done that? We got any handbooks on that? Well, we do in the Bible. We've got that. But Patrick Henry, in his famous Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech, he said some other things. And he said this. Listen to this now. 3 million people armed in the holy cause of liberty and in such a country as that we possess are invincible by any force which our enemy can send against us. That's one of the founding fathers. Besides, since we shall not fight our battles alone, there is a just God who presides over the destiny of nations and who will raise up friends to fight our battles for us. Huh? We did get the French on our side in that Revolutionary War. Came over and helped out quite a bit. But he said there's a just God. They leave that out of the history books today, right? And then here's the quote that you heard. Patrick Henry said this. Ronald Reagan said it in the video. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, God Almighty. Our forefathers declared their independence from England, but also their dependence upon God. It's all right there. It would be right in the history books if they hadn't been rewritten and haven't taken that out and blotted that out or left it out. The Declaration of Independence closes with the words, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, that's God if you don't know, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. They sign their names. Some of those men did lose their lives. Some of those men lost their fortunes. They lost everything they had. They lost their homes, their farms. Everything was taken, destroyed during that war. They had to be willing to do that. They had to be willing to do that, and they were willing to do that. And I think it's good to review this. I know every 4th of July I'm thinking, well, man, what am I going to talk about? You know, I want to do, you know, I think we know this. I might have told you the same things before, but I think it's good to, you know, we got to review. The Bible tells, and we're going to see that today. God told the people over and over again, remember. He said, remember. Think back. Remember this. We got to remember this as a nation. This is what this was all about, what people were standing up. We had freedoms. We had rights. There was protections in place to keep the government in control. We need government.
Amen. Amen.
We need laws. We do. But it can get out of control. And so it's we the people. That we the people. We are the government. So there has to be restraints. And like any law, it has to be able to be enforced. It has to be able to be backed up. And we see that. We have that in this nation right now. So I think a lot of our history is not being taught. I think it's either that. I think it's purposely being left out. We think about the beginning of this country. A lot of a lot of people that first came to America, they wanted religious freedom. England had the state church, the Church of England. You had to belong to that. There wasn't any options. And these people wanted freedom to worship God. Not everybody that came over here, that was on their mind. There was people that, you know, money was on their mind. They wanted to come over and thought it was a good place, maybe find gold, silver, whatever the country may have. Maybe to start a business and make money and what people are going to have needs. And maybe to meet those needs, just, you know, maybe money. That's fine and dandy. But a lot of the people that came, they wanted to establish the right to worship God however they felt led to do so. And that's why they came. And so here was a nation. And when we see the prayers and we see the words of the founding fathers that God was at the basis of how this nation started, there's only two nations in the world that can say that, America and Israel. And I mean, that's an awesome thing. And it's things we need to think about. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 6, I'm going to read from there down to 20. The Bible says, therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. And this is Moses writing. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Now look here in verse 11. He said, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this will. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. We see Moses in our text today. Moses is speaking to Israel, and he's looking back. He said, listen, I want you to remember. I want you to remember where God has brought you from. And then I want you to look forward. I want you to look forward and keep trusting God. He told him those two things. And he gave a warning. And I believe the same warning that Moses gave to Israel is a good warning for America today, a good warning not only for America, but I'll say this to you guys, a good warning warning for Christians today, not only just Americans, but for Christians. He said, beware in verse 11 that thou forget not. And that seems like as a nation, we're suffering from forgetfulness. Not only forgetfulness, listen, we're suffering from a lack of knowledge. You know, there's a multitude, this country, because of our policy on allowing oppressed people from anywhere in the world to come to this land, and we let multitudes and multitudes of people come into this land, but then yet they're not taught the history, how this land was found. They know nothing about the dependence that the forefathers had on God of this nation when this nation was founded. They don't know anything about the battles, the sacrifice, what took place in the founding of this nation. So they can't forget because they don't know, but we know. And not only there's a lot of forgetfulness, as I said, for nations, but there's a lot of forgetfulness from Christians, from what God has brought you up out of in your life, in our lifetime. Think about where you would be if God has not been a part of your life for however many years he's been a part of your life now. Where would you be today without Jesus Christ in your life? You might not even be alive, or where you'd be so far down in sin. It's hard to say where all of us would be if it hadn't have been for God. Sometimes it's good to think about that, remember that. Psalm 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God shall be turned, all the nations. And I got a feeling, I think this about, I remember coming up as a kid, didn't know nothing, and I felt like, boy, and I was probably right about it, that, you know, I believe we were, that we were the greatest nation in all the earth. I felt that way, but there's a certain pride people get about that. I'm going to tell you what, don't get to thinking that we're so great, so special, so unique that God's going to overlook us forgetting about him. I'm going to tell you what, man, this nation will go down so fast it'll make your head swim. And we're already not the nation we used to be. Not militarily. Not in the world view, how the world views us. I believe there's some fight still left in us. I don't think there's too many nations that wants to grab a hold and bite and hold on right now. But I'll tell you what, they don't fear us like they used to. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't either, man. At the state that we've got into, there's people listening, living in this country, and they ain't giving their life for this country. They don't have any equity in this nation right here that are living in this land. It's not what it used to be. And I'll tell you what, I'm not as happy with it as I used to be either. I'm just the way it is, man. There's a whole lot not to be glad about. Or I don't even like to use the word pride. The Bible says pride cometh before a fall. And I tell you what, there's the wrong kind of pride right there in thinking that God is not going to judge this nation. He's not, according to that Psalm 9:17, he'll judge this nation just as fast, maybe even faster, because we're supposed to know him. We're supposed to be a Christian nation. And so the root of the problem for forgetting is found in verse 14. Then thine heart be lifted up. Huh? You know what that is? That's that word pride right there. Thy heart be lifted up. When does pride creep in? Look back in verse 12. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, thy silver, thy gold, and all that thou hast multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up. See, pride creeps in what? It's not when there's a adversity. Pride creeps in when there's prosperity. If you think back, that's what happened to America. Listen, we think back to the happy days, the 50s. We started thinking, went on after World War II, man, and people started to be, and it started way before that in the Industrial Revolution, but when America started to be prosperous, man, we were exporting items left and right. We were selling, and America, and people started being able to buy houses, and people had cars, and they had two cars, and TVs, and man, and we started to be prosperous. I think about the time when I grew up. I said a few weeks ago somewhere in one of the services that we had, I thought, man, and it wasn't a perfect time. Trust me, there was a lot that was wrong with the 60s. There was a lot that was wrong with the 70s. But I'll tell you what, I might take those problems over some of the problems we're looking at today. I mean, crying out loud, it was a happier time to live. Give me 1970, man. I was 15 years old. Man, I'm telling you what, when we look at how things were, was it perfect? Was there a lot wrong? Yeah, there was. But man, it's nothing like it is today. We could scratch off a lot of problems from back in those days. But what happened? We think about our nation, man, when money was good and the economy was good and everything. And that's when people started forgetting about God in this country. Didn't need God like the forefathers did. Huh? When you're getting ready to sign your name on a piece of paper that's going to condemn you, you know, if they had lost the war, every single one of them would have been hung. Every single one of them, they'd have been hunted down, tracked down, they'd have hung them. They'd have lost everything. Boy, they signed their name, boy. When you sign your name on a piece of paper that's going to condemn you to death if you lose the war, boy, I bet you they was praying for the war every day of the week, man. There was some serious prayer time going on. They didn't forget about God. They were crying out to God. And problem is, though, we get all fat and sassy. Money's good. We got checking account. We got this, that, and the other thing that that the government does and all the securities and all that. We don't have to pray out, to cry out to God that way. And so what happens? We start getting pride, and then what happens? We forget about God. And here's the ironic thing. The prosperity of God becomes the very thing that takes us away from God. God bless. I was telling somebody at the flea market, we was talking the other day, I said, man, you know, God doesn't have a problem with money. It's not a problem with that. But you know what? If somebody dropped $10 million on most of us, we'd be ruined. As far as our spiritual life goes, I'd never see you. Huh? No, you'd be in the camper. You'd be on the boat. You'd be at the cottage on the lake. You'd be on a vacation to Europe. Huh? I'd never see you. You wouldn't be of no use to God whatsoever because you'd be too busy with what you got. There's been a few men in the world God's put some millions on, buddy, and I'll tell you what, you look, study their lives and find out how God used them. They didn't give 10% to God. They gave 90% to God and lived off the 10%, and they were still billionaires. That's how much, but most of us wouldn't do it. We just wouldn't. I mean, that's just the way it is. Our prosperity can kill us, man. Where the blessings of God become the very thing that takes us away from God. I see it all the time. I see it in America. I see it in churches all the time right there. It's ironic. It's an ironic thing. And so Moses said, this is what Moses is warning. Basically, if you just boil this down, this is what the warning is. He said, beware. Beware when you got plenty to eat, food on your table, and you built them nice houses, huh? And you got all them cattle and everything, which is kind of security. And you got gold and silver. Both of them would have been money, the animals and the real gold. And you got all that money. He said, beware. That's when you got to watch out. That's when you got to watch out. Beware of it. So he said, beware of this. He said, number one, beware of forgetting where we came from. Beware of forgetting where we came from. Israel had been in slavery for 400 plus years. They'd been in slavery to Egypt. And they were living destitute. They didn't have anything. They were worked to death. It was rough conditions. They weren't treated good. It was a bad thing. They cried out to God. And, you know, like I said, in our nation, it's good to remember that where God is in our, you know, in the history of our nation. Now, you guys know this because I tell you every 4th of July, if I don't tell you any other time, you guys know this. But a lot of the world, a lot of our country, they don't know it. They don't know what's going on. And, you know, when you think about them first settlers, you ever go down and you go down, well, we went down to Jamestown, Sherry and I went down there and they got the replicas of the ships that the Jamestown settlers came in. And then you can go to Massachusetts and see the ones that the pilgrims came in. Man, I'm telling you what, the biggest one isn't big enough for me. The biggest one to go across the ocean and the littlest one, man, fishing boats are bigger than that. Imagine for months floating across the Atlantic Ocean on that thing, man, and storms that. Boy, do you think they was praying? Yeah. Huh? Boy, that'd get a prayer meeting started right there, wasn't it, riding in them little old ships across there? Think about them. Coming on them small ships, leaving home. They wanted religious freedoms and some things, hacking out an existence. You know, you hit the beach. All right, where's Walmart? Huh? Ain't no Walmart. We got to have clothes. Well, you're going to have to grow the cotton, you're going to have to grow the flax, you're going to have to grow that stuff, you're going to have to turn that into yarn, you got to make your clothes. I mean, you just hit the beach, man, and you got to start scratching and digging from day one. You got to get your firewood. You got to get a shelter built. You got to build a bigger shelter. You got to find out what kind of animals are around. What do you got to eat? What not to eat? Don't touch. Found out about poison ivy, poison oak, stink bugs, mosquitoes, whatever. All that. You start hacking out your life from day one. You step off the boat. They had to do that. And man, weather problems, diseases that they'd never heard of. They had to deal with all that that was going on. Then the pioneers, that they started getting established on the coast, they started hacking out trails. Think about going off through the wilderness. Talking to some guy about, told him my name was Daniel Boone at the flea market. We started talking about that. No GPS. You don't even know no maps because you got to make the maps, right? There's no maps, no GPS. You're just picking a hole in the mountain somewhere and hoping you can get through and going and seeing and exploring. Somebody was doing that. Man, they were doing it depending on God. The first buildings, I remember studying this. I did remember this and from my early years of field trips to Jamestown, Williamsburg. We did that. When they go to these towns and villages, one of the very first buildings that got built was the church. They built the church. They depended on God. And then the church became the meeting place. When they call a meeting for the village, everybody came to the church building. That's where they came. But they put God first. They did that. And they knew they were dependent on God. They didn't have government handouts. They didn't have Social Security. They didn't have Medicare. They didn't the retirement plan. No retirement plan except God's retirement plan. That was all they had. Just think about that. Man, listen, you think, oh, well, I think I'm gonna retire at 66 in 2 months. No, I think I'm going to wait to 70 retire. Guess what? The retirement wasn't in the dictionary. Huh? How you retire? You retired, you died. Because, you had to put that garden in, folks. You had to get till that garden. You had to get out there and get them in. You had to keep on trucking till God took you home. That was it, man. And listen, now we look at our nation today, prayer out of school. We did have a little victory the other day about that man that went out on the football field, that coach, and kneeled down to pray and said that they said he could pray. Well, that should have never even went to court. It should have never went to court, never went to the Supreme Court. A man just can't kneel down on a football field no matter wherever he's at and pray. And we got to fight about that. And God's going to bless the USA? No, sir, I'm glad it came out the right way, but the fact that we're even talking about it, the fact that it's got to go to court shows you where this nation has got to. Roe v. Wade got overturned. That's great. It took it over back to the states. You know how that's going to go by the states. The fact that we even got it in the states that we got, I'm glad it went that way. I'm sure God took note of that. I am. But, man, 50 years it took to get this squared away. 50 years to get that back. Down there, we look at that Bible out of school, manger scenes, can't have it on government property. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine telling the forefathers of this nation, well, listen, we're not going to be able to have anything that references Jesus on the government property. Huh? Do you imagine telling them that? They said, what? What are you talking about? We want Jesus on everything on the government property. Hey, go down to Washington, D.C., and you go up and down like where the Treasury Department is, and probably even over there at NOAA, where the NOAA, the National, and you look at the little carvings up on the they can't do. They got to tear the whole building up to get this off. Go up there. Go into Lincoln's tomb thing, where Abraham Lincoln's sitting in the chair, the monument there, Lincoln Memorial, and go read on the wall what's chiseled in the marble on the wall. See if God isn't referenced right there. You go down there and look at those carvings up around all these government buildings. I'm saying this now. Somebody's going to complain. They're going to hear it on Facebook. They're going to have a petition. They're going to have a protest. And we'll have a bunch of people with looking strange down there in D.C. protest. But it's the Last Supper. Moses leading the people through the wilderness. All on the buildings, the government buildings in Washington, D.C., man. It's all over that. But you can't put a manger scene up now. No, we can't do that. So here we are. This is what we're looking at today. We've got all that going on right there. Now we can fly the rainbow flag on government property, but we can't have a manger scene on government property. See? I mean, it's what we're getting to. And then we got Gay Pride Month. Gay Pride Month. Thank the Lord that we're in July. I'm thankful for that. Amen. Gay pride. But you know what the Bible says about pride? Pride cometh before a fall. Pride cometh before a fall. And listen, not only nationally have we forgotten about God, but Christians. Man, time is flying. A lot of Christians have forgotten about God. I was telling myself this morning, I said, well, this ain't going to be a very long message, man. I'm sorry about that. A lot of Christians have forgotten about God too. Where God brought them from. Where God brought you up out of the miry clay. Where God brought you up out of the pit, from the far country, out of the pig pen, out of dope, out of alcohol, out of porn, out of fornication. And people forget God. People forget God and they forsake God. I'm going to tell you what, you look around today, man, people are forsaking the house of God. They're forsaking the word of God. Let me tell you something right here. I'm going to give you the nuts and bolts. Christian. And I'm giving you a warning like Moses said, beware. Listen, I don't want to sound harsh. I'm going to tell you this because I love you, I care about you. If you're not regularly in your Bible, reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, you got a major spiritual problem. Amen. Major. Major. And you're getting away from God. Amen. The Word of God, they're forsaking the Word of God. They are forsaking a prayer to God. They are forsaking the commandments of God. But boy, we want the blessings of God, don't we? Huh? Amen. Let's thank our lucky stars and ask God to bless the USA, right? Huh? How about that? The key, number six, verse six, look at this. I got to give you these things. I'm going to speed up, so pay attention. Listen fast, I'll spoil. Verse six is the key to the blessings of God. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. That's the key to the blessings of God right there. Walk in his ways, fear him. The second point, forgetting the blessings of God. The second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence begins with these words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created, there's a creator, equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, some people think that the pursuit of happiness is you can do anything you want, whenever you want. I told you that we need government, we need laws, we need order in society. The prodigal son, he thought that, boy, you know what? I'm going to get my inheritance and I'm going to go out and just do what I want. When I want, whenever I want, all I want. That's what I'm going to do. Guess what happened? You know the story. He got his inheritance. He went out and blew all his money, blew his whole inheritance, ended up eating in the pig pen with the pigs. Huh? And then the Bible says that he came to his cell. He got to that far country and did all that, wasted inheritance, and then he came to his cell. How did his pursuit of happiness turn out? When he's sitting out there with the pigs eating them husks that the swine eat, you think he was happy? Had he found happiness? No, he got to do what he wanted to do, and guess what? He didn't find happiness. But guess what he said? He said, I remember. He didn't say it this way, but I'm going to say it this way. I remember the good old days, and the good old days was when I was in my father's care, and my dad had some restraints, and my dad had some rules. He goes, those were the good old days. Wouldn't you like to go back to those good old days? Those are the good old days. And he said, I'm going to go back to my father and then tell him I'll be a hired servant. Put myself under his authority as a hired servant is going to be better than what I thought was going to be my happiness. He said, I'm going to go back. Of course, we know his daddy didn't put him as a hired servant. He took him in as a son. Listen, we got to serve somebody. You're going to serve Satan or you're going to serve God. You're going to be under somebody's rule, Satan or God. It's either way. And a lot of people are serving sin. And when you serve sin, you're enslaved to sin. Simple as that. Nobody's free. Sin rules and reigns in a lot of folks' lives. And the nation, as a nation, we're getting farther and farther from God. And some people in church, and some that used to be doing the same thing, some people that used to be serving God have gotten away from God. Like I said, it saddens me to see what our nation used to be, really. It saddens me to see what it used to be and see what it is today. And I just keep thinking, man, you know what? I'm glad I grew up when I did. I'm glad I came up when I did, man. And, you know, when I'm gone, it's not going to make no difference anyway. And then the last point, it's not very long, forgetting God's judgment, 19 and 22. It tells us right there, verse 9, it shall be that thou, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. I know that's written to Israel right there, but buddy, it applies 100% to this nation right here. It's going to be the same way. Forgetting God's judgment, Israel turned from God. After all that God had done, they turned from God and they began to worship false gods. Man, went into idolatry. How in the world did they do that? Well, I'm going to tell you what, it's real simple. You know what the appeal was in worshiping the false gods of the nation around them? Sensuality, sex. It was all wrapped up in immorality. That was the appealing factor. That's what took them away from God. It's still working today. Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations. That's in their mind. And their foolish heart was darkened. That's what happened to them in their mind. There's a lot of idols out there today. Self is one of them. Prosperity and gratitude, idolatry. This nation is not exempt from the judgment of God. It's living like it is. You are not exempt from the judgment of God, saved or lost. You can say, well, I'm saved and I'm not going to die and go to hell. No, but God will judge you in this life. He will the lost are going to get judged in the next one. You're going to get judged in this one if you forget God. Verse 6, keep his commandments, walk in his ways, and fear him. Have you declared dependence or independence from God? Have you declared your dependence, then depend on him? Have you declared your independence from him? That's the question for you today. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Paul will be coming up, have an invitation here. And if God spoke to your heart, we'll give you a chance to come forward and pray. And so let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. I thank you for my nation, Lord. I love my nation. I love more what it used to be than what it is. I still have hope for my nation, Lord. I still pray for this nation. I pray, Lord, for the leaders of our nation every day. Lord, I pray for people, godly people, to be put in office. I pray for those that are godly in office to be witnesses, Lord, in the position they're in. Lord, lead others in places of power to you, to that knowledge of you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Let's not put it off on everybody else, Lord. Help us. There's people we come in contact with every day that don't know you, Lord. Help us to be bold in our witness. Fill us with yourself, Lord, your spirit. Give us power to be witnesses in this world. Lord, put the words in our mouth. You promised us you would, Lord, if we just believe you and trust you for that, that you'd put the words in our mouth to say when the time comes. Lord, help us to be faithful to you in that, faithful to your church, your word. Lord, just faithful to you in all that we say and do. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.